Siddhartha came. Sorry, excuse me. So, this was the original signal, the one stored on the CD. This is the impulse response of a room. Okay. And this is the result when the signal is passed through this room. And now it is reverberated. You can hear how the passing through the system, the signal has been filtered, because this is what actually occurred. This room is a filter for my voice. What you hear is not the same signal as is being radiated by my voice. The reverberation of the room is acting like a filter over your signal. From a mathematical point of view, working with sampled digital signal, the thing is just a sum of products. You can calculate each sample of the output signal Y as the sum of n input signal X multiplied by the corresponding n values of the impulse response H. So, mathematically, it's very simple in digital domain. N multiplication, and you sum the result. And this gives you the output. This operation is called FIR filtering, but it is also called convolution. So, what is convolution in digital domain? Is just the sum of N multiplication. In other science, this is called linear combination. It's called vector product between the two vectors X and H. Or row and column product, and so on. But in acoustic, we usually call it convolution. In digital signal processing or digital transmission system or topics like that, is called usually FIR filtering, where FIR stands for finite impulse response. As there is another kind of filtering, which you are not going to explain today, but in 1 month, which is called instead IIR filtering, infinite impulse response filtering. For us, what is important is usually only FIR filtering, that is convolution. In a compact form, instead of writing explicitly this summation of n value, what is usually written in compact form is X convolved H, where this sort of circled asterisk is called the convolution operator. On some books, just the normal asterisk is employed. But in any case, there is a compact formalization of the convolution operation, avoiding to write the summation and only writing a sort of asterisk instead of the normal dot, which is the symbol of multiplication. That is the convolution operator. This is IIR filtering. I am not going to explain this to you today. Okay, let's go to the FFT algorithm. We already did a talk about the FFT algorithm for making narrow band spectral analysis. We have seen that the FFT algorithm gets a chunk of signal in time domain, what is called an FFT block, of a certain length, a certain number of samples, and over this number of samples you perform this strange algorithm, which I am not going to explain today, and this provides you with the spectrum of the signal. Okay? So the FFT transforms a segment of time domain data in the corresponding spectrum with constant frequency resolution, starting at 0 Hz, DC, the continuous component, up to the Nyquist frequency, which is half of the sampling frequency. The longer the time segment, the narrower will be the frequency resolution. If you sample n points in time domain, you get n/2 frequency band plus the DC component, which in acoustic is always zero, so we can forget completely the presence of the DC component in the FFT output. For us in acoustic, we can say that we get only n/2, and this plus one can be thrown away. Okay? So this is an example of an analog waveform which has been digitized, and those dots here are the samples. They are called the samples, the value which has been sampled. Okay? If we employ a time signal, a chunk of 64 points, we get a spectrum which contains 32 bands plus the DC, which is always zero, so we don't even plot the DC component. So we get 32 frequency bands from 64 points. The nice thing of the FFT algorithm is that the algorithm can be reversed. You can go from time domain to frequency domain with a forward FFT, but we can also go back. If we have the spectrum of the sound, we can compute back the corresponding waveform performing an inverse Fourier transform, IFFT. So you can go forth and back between time and frequency domain. This is very useful for doing filtering, because you can go from time domain to frequency domain. Here you can change the spectrum, and then you can come back to time domain, getting the filtered signal. It is a very efficient way of filtering signal. For example, for equalizing the signal, for boosting some frequency here which was weak, and for reducing this big peak here which is disturbing. You can make your equalization in frequency domain and come back in time domain with your filtered equalized signal. Okay, we are not going to explain this one today, because again this will be for the second part of the course. Also this one. We are going instead to, also this will be explained later, also this one, clearly for you. Okay, what we are interested in here today is performing FIR filtering, which means convolution, employing the FFT. This is very efficient from a computational point of view, because due to the mathematical properties of the Fourier transform, which we are not going to explain you today, but you have to trust me, convolution in time domain becomes simple multiplication in frequency domain. That means that here, for every output sample, you have to make n multiplication and then sums, which is a huge number, because an impulse response in acoustics can be 100,000 samples, or even more. It can be 1 million samples. So n is very large. For every output sample, if you perform convolution in time domain, you have to make 100,000 multiplication and 100,000 sums. It takes a long, even on a fast computer like this one. For convolving 1 minute of music, this very fast computer will take 1 hour, which is not feasible in the real world. Instead, if we go in frequency domain, every output spectral line is just the product of the input spectrum of that frequency multiplied for the spectrum of the impulse response at the same frequency. Just one multiplication for every point. And the number of points here is half the number of points there. So you get 2n is the advantage factor. And if n is long, it means reduce the computational power if n is 100,000 of samples, the length of the impulse response. Performing the convolution in frequency domain reduce the computational requirement by a factor which is 200,000. So, performing fast convolution becomes very cheap on the computer. A computer like this one can convolve 64 channels with impulse response of 500,000 each point, each impulse response, in real time. So, there is practically no computational load. In time domain, convolution is very heavy for even a very fast computer. In frequency domain, convolution is nothing. Okay? So nowadays, where we know this trick, no one is doing any more convolution in time domain. Only stupid people who don't know anything about digital signal processing. But every engineer should know about fast convolution in frequency domain. And should know that FIR filtering is much less demanding in terms of computational power than any other kind of digital filtering. So, in the modern world, everything is done with FIR filters. IIR filters are completely obsolete. It's a thing of the past. Also, this is the reason for which I am not going to explain them to you today. Okay? So, the convolution is made this way. You take your signal, make the FFT, and get the spectrum. You, of course, already made the spectrum of your filter, of your impulse response, and you just multiply the spectrum of your signal by the spectrum of your filter. You get the filter and the spectrum, come back to time domain, and you are done. Very quick, very fast, very efficient. Nevertheless, there are problems. First problem, for doing this red route, you have first to sample the whole length of your signal, because you need to have all your data before you go to frequency domain. If X is a song which is 3 minutes long, it is going to require a lot of memory, because you need to store 3 minutes of signal in the memory of your computer to make only one enormous FFT operation with millions of operands, get this incredibly narrow spectrum, and then come back and get your completely filtered waveform at once in a single operation, but only after you already got your signal in. This is not good for real-time filtering. It's only a batch processing. You can do once you have recorded the signal, but you cannot do it continuously on my voice, for example. So this is not the most efficient thing. The solution is the overlap and save algorithm. Instead of processing the whole length of the signal X, you only process a chunk of signal which is typically longer than the impulse response, but not much longer. If your impulse response is 1 second, you can use chunks of signal which are, say, 2 seconds each. Okay? Longer, typically twice as long, more or less, than the impulse response. So you don't need to store 3 minutes of signal, but just 2 seconds. And every 2 seconds, you make the FFT, you make the convolution in frequency domain, you make the inverse Fourier transform, and you output the difference of sample between your length, which you are using, and Q, where Q is the length of the impulse response. So if N was twice long as Q, as it is usually done, you sample 2 seconds of signal, and you get 1 second of filtered signal is in output. At this point, you move your sampling window not of n point to the right, but only of n/2, so you reuse the second half of the previous sample, you append another 1 second of signal at the end, make the convolution again, and get another second of signal. And so you get your signal coming out every second. Still, this is a big latency. It is like if I speak now and you hear my voice 1 second later. You don't see my mouth moving in sync anymore with the voice. It happens on the TV, for example, when you have satellite transmission from United States. You see the guy moving the mouth, but only after 1 second you hear the voice. It's not nice. So still the latency is not zero. And second problem, still if n is large, you need a lot of memory. So the further trick, the even better trick, is the uniformly partitioned overlapping save. In this case, not only the signal is divided in chunks, but also the impulse response. For example, here you see an impulse response of a room like this one being divided in 4 blocks. You perform separately the convolution of your input signal with each of these 4 blocks. This reduces the processing latency to 1/4 of the original one. If this was 1 second long, now the latency is not anymore 1 second. But it is 0.25 seconds, which start to be acceptable. If it is not acceptable, you just divide this more. Why 4? Why not 8 or 16 or 32 or 64 partitions? It doesn't matter. For the computer, the computational load, more or less, is the same. So, with a proper subdivision of the impulse response, you get very little computational load, no big load on the processor, and very, very small latency. It doesn't go really to zero, but it can be reduced just to a couple of milliseconds, which is completely inaudible. Think that my voice, for arriving from here to your ears, already takes 5 to 10 milliseconds. So adding 2 more milliseconds for digital processing is nothing, because the acoustical delay is already bigger. So it doesn't matter. Okay? So here we stop the first hour, have a short break of 10 minutes, and then start measuring really the impulse response of this room. Thank you.